Just heard from Dolly Kyle, and for the rest of the program today, our guest slash co-hostess is Jen, J-E-N, and we are going to be discussing 101 Reasonable Doubts About Mormon Claims, and this was something that was put together by Richard Packham, and he is the founder of the Ex-Mormon Foundation. Anyway, welcome to the program, Jen.
Thank you.
All right.
Nice to be here.
Well, it's wonderful to have you, and we have mutual friends, and anyway, I consider you a friend. It's wonderful to have friends, not just in your neighborhood, but online friends can be just wonderful. They can add support, and it's wonderful to have online friends, particularly in something like what we're going to be talking about, because I think that a lot of Mormons feel that they are totally alone in their doubts. They feel like, well, they're the only ones in their ward or their area that has any doubts. They feel reluctant to talk to anybody in their ward, and so they just keep it to themselves. So it's wonderful that there is a community online for people like that. So anyway, if people want to read along with us or follow along with what we're doing, the URL is posted on the schedule page, and it's, or if you want to just look it up, it's 101 Reasonable Doubts About Mormon Claims. And so, why don't you start with the first one? Read the first one for us, and then let's talk about this. And we do invite callers to call in with their questions or comments, and that number is 800-313-9443. Okay, go ahead, Jen.
Awesome. Okay, number one, in the first History of the Church, written by Oliver Cowdery and Joseph Smith in 1834, there is no mention of Joseph Smith's first vision, where God the Father and Jesus appeared and told him that all churches of the day were abominations, even though the church leaders today insist that this vision is the basis and beginning of Mormonism.
And I think that's a very good way to start out, talking about the first vision. And I believe there are 9 versions of the first vision. And, of course, with the Correlation Committee, people in church, because the information is so controlled by this Correlation Committee, that members don't ever know that there was ever more than one version. Correct?
Exactly, yes.
And in 1820, it's amazing. Well, first of all, in 1820, if he had a vision where God the Father and Jesus actually appeared to him, wouldn't he have told his family? And yet his family, certain members of his family, were joining the Presbyterian Church, and Joseph Smith himself had some affiliation with the Methodist Church. Is that your understanding?
Yes.
Okay, so I'll go ahead and read the second one. Mormons believe that Adam and Eve were the first human beings on Earth. This contradicts all scientific evidence showing that there have been humans for many thousands of years before the traditional time for Adam. What do you think about that?
Really is a belief, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's an allegory, and it's a wonderful allegory, but it contradicts all scientific evidence, obviously. So, and I'm sure that a lot of our listeners would believe that, and yet members are told, and I mentioned the correlation committee, members are indoctrinated to believe everything that the church produces. And they produce a lot of propaganda, a lot of books, for because there's a lot of classes. The church really targets a person from the time they're born until the time they die. They want lifetime members who are perfectly willing to give up 10% of their gross income for the rest of their lives. Okay. Do you want to do number three?
I just wanted to say something on that other one.
Oh, yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
Yeah, it seems that in any field of study nowadays, it all points back to that it's all been a story. I mean, talk about coming out of the Truman Show.
Yes. How true.
Yeah,
yes.
I think we're all coming out of some level of shock.
Well, I think that has to do with the church being a cult. I think when you're in a cult, and it has all of the characteristics of a cult, I think that, well, there's also consensus thinking. People like to belong. They don't want to be independent because they want to belong. And so they go along with the consensus of the group because it's very uncomfortable. To raise your hand in a class, say a Sunday school class, and say, "Hey, I don't agree with this," because you're going to get some dirty looks. You're going to get people turning around, looking at you, wondering, "Well, what's wrong with you that you're not believing the same things that the rest of us are believing?" So people hate to leave their comfort zones, and consensus thinking is certainly part of the LDS indoctrination and environment. So,
absolutely.
Okay. Do you want to go ahead and do three?
Yes. E.H. Roberts, a general authority of the church until his death in 1933, studied the Book of Mormon extensively and concluded that Joseph Smith could have authored it himself, using as a source the 1825 book, A View of the Hebrews by a Protestant Minister. Do you want
Indeed.
More?
Yeah, go ahead. If you click on more, then it just gives, if people are visiting this website.
Oh, lots of links.
Okay, go ahead. Let's do it.
Yeah, there's just lots of links. There's too many to mention.
Right. Well, the View of the Hebrews was by Ethan Smith. Now, they weren't related, but it was a book that was written 1825. And the other thing, too, was number three, is that B.H. Roberts concluded that Joseph Smith could have authored it himself, is that the church portrays Joseph Smith as totally uneducated, completely uneducated, to the point that, gosh, he could never have conjured up a book like the Book of Mormon. So it must have been that God, you know, called him, and that the book is actually a history, like he claims that it is. And so the church really likes to spin things so that that you wouldn't think that he could have done it, when in fact he had an excellent memory, almost a photographic memory. I think he was also an automatic writer. Now, I don't know whether people know what an automatic writer is. It's somebody that can start writing a book. Now, my grandfather was an automatic writer, and he was referred to as the Pulp King of America in the 1930s. Now, my grandfather could start writing a story for one of the pulp magazines, and he could leave it and go away and do something else, come back to it, never reread what he had written before, and just continue to write. And I believe that Joseph Smith also had this gift of being an automatic writer. So that's,
wow.
I mean, it's a possibility.
First.
Right.
That's the first I've heard that, yeah.
But given the fact that he used the seer stone, and a lot of the church also has all of these artist images of Joseph Smith looking at these gold plates as if he's actually translating from gold plates, when in fact they were never, ever in his presence during the transcription or the fabrication of the Book of Mormon. They were never in his view. They were always somewhere else, off-site even. And so what he would do, he would take this seer stone that he had found when he was doing some money digging, took the seer stone, put it in his hat, and then put his face into the hat. And since that's why I believe that he may have been an automatic writer, is that he could just spin these tales, just very easily. In fact, his mother said in one of the histories that he was always telling stories about the early inhabitants of America. So this was something that he had begun to do long before 1820.
Mm-hmm.
Correct?
Yeah, I was baptized in 1970, and I never saw any pictures of a stone in a hat.
Yeah, nobody did. I mean, it was just not anything that they wanted us to know about.
You can see how deceived members are feeling.
Oh, exactly. Now, I just got a copy of the BYU Religious Education Review for fall 2016. I don't know why they keep sending me these things. Anyway, it says, Mormon Paradigm Shifts, Joseph Smith's Seer Stones. And on the cover, there's a hand, and it shows two seer stones. And so they are actually having to admit that Joseph did have something like a seer stone because, well, they're trying to cover their butts. This is damage control. This is totally mm-hmm. damage control. So, feel free, listeners, to call in with any questions at 800-313-9443. Okay. Let's see, where are we? We are on number four.
You want me to do that?
Sure, go ahead.
Although Mormons claim that they are family-oriented, they exclude non-Mormon family members, even parents, from weddings in the temple, since only worthy Mormons are allowed to enter a Mormon temple.
Which is pretty awful. I mean, how would you feel if you were a non-member parent and couldn't even go to your daughter or son's wedding? The other exclusion, I think, too, is that when you're a member of the LDS Church, there's an overriding, they don't say don't play with non-Mormon children or don't associate with non-Mormon people, but there is that mentality that you're better off just associating with the people of your own faith, because somehow those other people aren't quite as good as you are, and they might contaminate you somehow. Would you agree with that?
Oh, yes. Well, they even tell you to stay away from apostates in the temple recommend questions.
Indeed. So, I guess if you leave the church, well, if you leave the church because it isn't true, then you're an apostate. And Jan, if one of your friends, one of your Mormon friends, decided that she wanted to socialize with you and she went to try to get a temple recommend, would she be able to do that?
She would have guilt.
So she would either be forced to lie.
Yes.
Or.
Yes. You can't play both sides of the fence.
That is so true.
There is a lot of guilt.
Guilt
and a lot
is,
of control.
Yes. Guilt is something that they use to control people. Guilt, anger, power, it's a very handy tool, very handy tactic.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'll go ahead and read number 5. Mormon women are limited to a secondary role in the church and in the family. They are not allowed to hold any priesthood office, which is required to exercise any authority. They are to be obedient to their husbands, or, if unmarried, to their fathers. Their ideal role is to bear children and be a homemaker.
You have to fit the role that they're prescribing.
Indeed. You have to be Miss Molly Mormon, don't you?
Yep.
Well, back in 1987, I was Miss Molly Mormon. I was Miss Molly Mormon for a long time. I was canning things, growing vegetables, making all my kids' clothes. I was so busy being Miss Perfect Molly Mormon that I didn't have time for anything else. But there was a situation in my family in 1988 where I really had to get a job in order to make ends meet, because my husband at that time was floundering in his occupation. So I got a job, and darn, I made more money. And that totally marginalized him, because he had always been the priesthood power. He was the domineering factor in the home, and he made the rules, and he was kind of a bit of a tyrant, actually. And, well, not actually, he was a tyrant, especially to the children. Mm-hmm. And when I got a job, within months, he decided to have a girlfriend. And not just any girlfriend, his ex-high school sweetheart. And within 4 months, we were divorced, and he was married to her. And I do believe, I honestly believe, it was because I did not limit myself to that secondary role. I took a role that is, not allowed, not encouraged in Mormondom, because, it's just not appropriate. So what are your feelings about that? Or if anybody wants to call in with their feelings about what we're talking about, it's 800-313-9443, or you can send us an email at comment@spingola.email. But what are your thoughts about that secondary role, and have you ever experienced that kind of situation in your own home?
Yes, and I've seen it in my family as well. I have a family relative who only makes decisions based on what her bishop says. There is no thinking allowed. It's scary. And I really feel that it's set up for a lot of codependency behaviors.
Indeed. Oh, my goodness. But, there might have been a time, gosh, I hope not, first let's explain what a bishop is. A bishop is somebody that is chosen by the state president, which is a larger denomination than a ward. There's wards, there's branches, wards, and stakes or districts. But anyway, a bishop is somebody that could be, he's a lay bishop. He doesn't have any, we're going to a quick break. We'll be right back.
Homeowners, Are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Hey, you've heard of HGH, right? Human growth hormone? Well, actually, it's very important because it affects the way we look and feel. Remember the name Seromax HGH, S-E-R-O-M-A-X. It's an all-natural amino acid HGH precursor. Human growth hormone is known as a hormone produced by our anterior pituitary glands in the brain. As we grow older, those levels decline. And by age 40, nearly everyone is deficient in HGH. And many of the diseases we associate with aging can be traced to those declining levels of HGH. Thankfully, there's help. Visit SeromaxHGH.com and learn about Seromax HGH. It's an all-natural amino acid HGH precursor containing specialized growth factors and nutrients scientifically shown to help increase the levels of HGH in your bloodstream. Plus, Seromax HGH has zero known negative side effects. Visit SeromaxHGH.com. SeromaxHGH.com. Get moving and join the growing list of satisfied customers who've discovered Seromax HGH.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Deanna, and our guest for the last 2 hours is Jen, and we're not bashing the Mormon Church. There's a scripture in their Doctrine and Covenants that says, "Behold, I sent you out to testify and warn the people, and it becometh every man who hath been warned to warn his neighbor." Okay, if it's good enough for them, it's good enough for those who have left. We are warning you about the Mormon Church. We're not bashing the Mormon Church. If they can send 80,000 missionaries out to tell people that they're going to go to hell if they don't join the church, then we're here to counter that. And I was talking about wards, but we do have a caller, so let's go ahead and take Kathy in Arizona. Kathy?
Hello?
Yes, Kathy, welcome.
Hi. So what I just called to say is that they talk about priestcraft. So if you go around doing things in the name of God and expect money for it, then it's priestcraft. And if you are giving blessings based on money, it's priestcraft. But I have a question for them. If you can't go to the temple without paying your tithing, so you can't get those blessings, aren't you basically buying your blessings? If you don't pay a full tithe, you can't go to the temple. If you can't go to the temple, you can't be sealed to your family or married to your spouse or sealed to your spouse. Well, I suppose if you've been sealed when you were a full tithe payer and then you become, you don't keep paying your tithing, then I suppose you could still be considered sealed to your spouse. But you won't get to Celestial Kingdom. And if you don't get to the Celestial Kingdom, you're not going to be with your spouse, right? So I don't see any difference theologically in what they purport and what they do to what they accuse of being priestcraft and what they actually do themselves.
You have a good point there, definitely.
Everything kind of revolves around the temple and tithing.
Money, yes. Mm-hmm. And Jen, do you have some comments to make about that?
Well, I think the Mormon Church is centered around the entitlement of the white male.
Oh,
and
yes.
And I think it's not only in the church, but it is a widespread problem worldwide, and it's affecting women. It's so dysfunctional, and it damages the family.
It does, actually, doesn't it?
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I think it does damage a family. I saw the damage to my own family, my own children. It's not something that is just a temporary thing. It's something that you have to survive and acknowledge and then try to overcome those experiences that mold you. You have to kind of unmold yourself from those things.
Mm-hmm. Can I read a quote on
sure.
that? The result of this hierarchical construct is violent colonization and oppression as men struggle to get to the top of this alpha male dog-eat-dog world.
Right.
There's just a few spots at the top. And men start to think there's something wrong with them if they don't, you know, get up there. Why
sure.
aren't they being selected? It's such a trip for them, too.
Sure. But one thing in the Mormon Church that is kind of different, and I think it was a very good psychological tool that Joseph Smith used, was that he allowed all the men to hold a priesthood office, which kind of brought them into the circle, so that they would feel that they have power, so that they have an investment. It's like when you make a monetary investment in something, then it means more to you. So these men are invested in what they think is their power, and then the church, of course, helps them to exercise this power clear down to your own home, so that the home becomes an appendage of the church. Okay, we're going to a 3-minute break. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
As a regular listener to Republic Broadcasting, you certainly understand the times and circumstances that we are living in. You certainly understand that the good times are over, and you certainly understand what we are heading for. Though we do not know what exactly is going to happen, we must assume that it's going to be a disaster. Are you prepared for that mess? Go to www.bugoutpanama.net and get the necessary information on our growing community of awake and prepared individuals, just like you. At www.bugoutpanama.net, you will learn how we are preparing on our farm, Finca Bayano, for what is coming. Emigrate while you still can to our village, where survival is of the utmost importance. Prepare. Don't despair. at www.bugoutpanama.net.
Roberts & Roberts Brokerage believes that everyone should have some of their assets in investment-grade precious metals. Roberts & Roberts has been a trusted name in precious metals for nearly 40 years. Experienced investors will appreciate our personal service and low prices. If you're new to precious metals, we can help you find the products right for you. Give us a call today at 800-874-9760 or visit us online at rrbi.co. Roberts & Roberts Brokerage, when you're serious about precious metals.
Do you or someone you know suffer from chest pain, blood pressure, cholesterol, or irregular heartbeat? Are you looking for a more natural solution to overcome these health challenges? You hear the ads all the time. If this stuff's so good, why doesn't my doctor prescribe it? That's easy. Doctors are not trained in natural medicine. Extendivite Heart Tonic does want you to be as healthy as you can be, and it really works. Take Extendivite for 6 months and your doctor will say, I don't know what you're doing, but don't stop. It's working for you. Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
This is not legal advice. This is a public service announcement from TakeFromCaesar.us. Only one statute explains how to tax your paycheck, Tax Code Section 83. In decisions from 1979 to 2011, the courts say Section 83 governs the taxation of all compensation for personal services, but the IRS lies on the stand, claiming to be unfamiliar with Section 83. Only one person can explain what Section 83 means, David Merlin. Visit TakeFromCaesar.us for more information.
While the large majority of Americans have never heard of cryptocurrency, it is the medium of exchange of the future that has already begun. On the other hand, the large majority of RBN listeners are very aware of the corruption within the Fed and the trillions in counterfeit money and credit it has created. Well, would you like to do something about this? OneCoin, the fastest growing company of any kind in world history, will pay you to help do away with the Federal Reserve. Henry Ford didn't invent the automobile, but he surely developed many great improvements in the industry. In 1927, talking pictures made silent movies obsolete overnight, and email has practically done away with the need for a fax machine. With cryptocurrency, Bitcoin became the pioneer in 2009. But now OneCoin, as the first ever gold-backed cryptocurrency, has moved to the top of the industry in only 2 years, and its impact on the financial world could be devastating to the Fed. Bill Gates and Richard Branson and all the jillionaires are already acknowledging that this system of paying for goods and services is becoming what will be recognized as the new worldwide reserve currency. For more information, call Pat Shannon at 601-212-0911. Again, that's Pat Shannon at 601-212-0911.
All right, welcome back. Our guest for the last 2 hours is Jen, and somebody in the chat room said the statue of Brigham Young down in downtown Salt Lake City has his back to the main temple and his hand is out to the Bank of Zion. I think that's very astute observation. I was talking about bishops. And bishops have no real training in counseling. So asking your bishop what you should do about, you know, whether you should buy a new car or whatever is really stupid. Jen, did you have something to say before we move on to number six? We do have another call or two.
I'm actually more worried about the ones that are the most compliant, because they're perpetuating this dysfunction.
Oh, yes. Yes. But they think they're being compliant to God. See, because God
right.
said that you should do this and this and this. So they feel like they're being obedient. But anyway, what a sad situation. Anyway, let's take Charles from California. Charles?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, thank you.
Yes, a few minutes ago, your guest said that Mormonism was a white male domination religion, and yet the Mormon religion is based upon the Talmud, which is totally anti-white.
And you say that, why? that it's based upon the talent?
I have a lot of friends in different religions, and they one of them was made the main bishop in Salt Lake City. And after he was made the main bishop, I don't know, 10 years ago or so, they took him downstairs and they unveiled a statue of Satan, basically, or Baal, Baphomet, and the many other terms that are used for the devil. And they said, this is the object of our Mormon worship.
Oh, now I have heard stories like that. Now you're talking about the actual presiding bishop in Salt Lake?
I believe so, yes.
Interesting. Yeah, there are, I've heard a lot of stories about this and about child abuse and about all kinds of ritual abuse, satanical abuse, but it's, yes, very interesting. So thanks for bringing that to our attention.
Yeah, it's definitely not a white people-friendly religion at all.
It's not a friendly religion to any people.
Exactly. Well, thank you, Deanna. Have a great rest of Saturday there.
You too. Thank you. All righty. Thanks, Charles. Okay.
You're welcome.
Number six. The Book of Mormon says, I don't know whether it's my turn or your turn. Anyway, I'll go ahead. The Book of Mormon says that wheat and barley were mainstay crops in ancient America. This is false. Only in Europe were those crops known and cultivated. And the actual staple crops grown in ancient America are never mentioned in the Book of Mormon, which are beans, sweet potatoes, squash, manioc, peppers, bread nut, and fruits. And yet, when Joseph Smith was creating the Book of Mormon, or if it had been actually a history, wouldn't they have mentioned the actual crops instead of making stuff up like wheat and barley?
Well, if it's a false book, they're not going to have it in it.
Yes, yes, how true. You're going to, you know what? He looked around him to see what they were growing. The Book of Mormon is really very localized. It's based on the things that Joseph Smith knew about in his own community. We have another caller. Bruce in Wisconsin. Bruce?
Yes, I understand what you're saying about the white male domination of the Mormon Church. I happen to be involved in Jehovah's Witnesses, and in our church, we're very welcoming to people of color. In fact, as African-American males, we baptize white women right into pools, into the church of the Jehovah's Witnesses. So, you know. Yeah.
Thank you, Russ, for calling. You haven't called in for some time. So, anyway, it's interesting to hear from you again. Okay. All righty. What do you think about the Book of Mormon having wheat and barley when actually there was no such thing in pre-Columbian America?
Well, I'm more interested in it in today's time.
Sure.
I realize that the food storage that's being pushed on the Mormon population is not healthy.
Oh, indeed. Let's talk about that.
I was going to get sick if I followed those guidelines. I knew something was wrong.
Yes. Now, what Jen is talking about is there is a scripture in Doctrine and Covenants, it's section 89, and it talks about eating wheat, that wheat is really good for you. And this was something that I objected to also, because the way that wheat is grown now, and especially as it's harvested, they spray it with glyphosate. And wheat is not, it was not part of the early paleo diet. And it can make you really sick. I became gluten-free in 2011, and Jen, I know that you've had problems also, but it does say, you know, to use wheat, and that's probably the worst thing you could do, right?
Exactly. And I also read that this alternating of the wheat started in the 1960s. And I also find it strange that it seems like the wheat that everyone stores ends up being dumped or given to cattle farmers or something. Nobody really eats it. It's
exactly.
a big business.
Yes. Well, I when we were storing wheat back in the 70s, I mean, I did use it. I had a wheat grinder. I ground the wheat. I made bread every week. I mean, my kids did not have store-bought bread the whole time they were growing up. I mean, they just had never tasted it. And one day my daughter said, couldn't we just have some store-bought bread just once? And I didn't make all wheat bread. I made white bread from time to time. But I was sick a lot during those times. But I never put two and two together and thought, and it was always digestive problems. And I'm thinking, yeah, they're making us all sick. And no wonder they have big investments in big pharma.
Yeah, the wheat puts holes in our gut.
Indeed. Yes. And, it's really bad for you. And, in fact, if you look back in the history of, like, the Kellogg Company, you know, all the cereals that they're trying to push onto people, it's not good for you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's move on. Number seven. You want to do number seven?
Sure. One of the most highly praised human traits in Mormonism is obedience. This is also one of the characteristics of a cult.
Exactly. Yes. And if people want to click on more, you will see the characteristics of a cult. And obedience is, that's the first thing you hear about when you go to the temple. The first law that you get, if I remember correctly, is the law of obedience. You have to obey. And there are several people that say yes. Pray, pay, obey. Right?
Yes.
And that's what they demand.
They take away your free will choice, and they tell you what to do from cradle to grave.
Indeed. And yet they talk so much about free agency. I mean, that's kind of a, it's just, they tell you have free agency, but then they tell you what to do and take up a lot of your time. Okay, number eight, Mormon Scripture, 84, Doctrine and Covenants 84, section, verse 86 and 91 says that true missionaries from God will not rely on their own money or supplies, a purse or scrip, for support, and this will be the test to distinguish them from false missionaries. Modern Mormon missionaries now rely on themselves for support. They don't carry, they have money. And that's another thing, too, is the church sends you out to get members for them so that they can collect more tithing, but the missionary's family is the one that supports the missionary. In addition to paying 10% of their gross, families of missionaries are also expected to pay the missionaries, to support them in the mission field. And this can run anywhere from $350 to $500. I'm not sure what the going rate. It depends, too, on where they are sent. But that's a big obligation.
Oh, it's a chunk. There was a man I knew, and he had sent three boys off on missions consecutively. And he was so strapped for cash. And then his daughter was getting married, and he couldn't go to the temple because he couldn't pay tithing.
Oh.
It was such a heartbreak to him.
Such irony. Oh, my gosh. Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness. Okay, you want to do number nine?
Yes. Although Joseph Smith claimed to be able to translate ancient documents by the power of God. He was unable to identify the papyrus obtained from Mr. Chandler correctly as pagan Egyptian funerary scrolls from the time of Christ, as identified subsequently by professional Egyptologists, but rather declared that they were a book written by the patriarch Adam, Abraham, 2,000 years earlier, and from them translated the book of Abraham.
Oh, this is such a farce. Oh, my goodness. This should have been the nail in the coffin, because, I mean, Joseph Smith claimed that the Book of Mormon was written in Reformed Egyptian, which there's never been any other incidences of anybody claiming that Reformed Egyptian existed. And then this guy, Michael Chandler, comes through Kirtland, and he's got these four mummies for sale, along with the papyrus. And the people there, the members there in Kirtland, got together $2,400 and paid for this. And he spent very little time on it. In the first part of it, I think this was like in June or spring of 1835. He spent till the end of the year. And basically the reason that this occurred is because he was losing a lot of popularity and credibility. And so he figured if he conjured up some other scriptures that maybe people would be more obedient, would be more, that he would have more credibility than so. But and you know, Egyptologists have looked at this and said this has nothing whatsoever to do with Abraham. It's just a big farce. And even Egyptologists in the church skirt around this issue. Anyway, it's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, well, okay. It makes you want to pull your hair out, because when you try to tell your TBM friends, they still are holding so tight to authority and obedience.
Exactly.
It doesn't even penetrate their ears.
Exactly. It is amazing. And TBMs, that's True Blue Mormons or True Believing Mormons?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, number 10. The United Order was a series of revelations in the 1830s under which Mormons were to turn over, listen to this, turn over all their property to the church, which would then make the members stewards and equal. It was based on the apparent practice of the New Testament church, where the Christians held all things in common. This order was to be everlasting. Well, it wasn't too everlasting, because it only lasted a very short time. They practiced it a bit, but then they attempted to implement it in several other places, including Ohio and Utah. But what it really was communitarianism, which is not a good thing. Not a good thing. I mean, what family would want to give everything they own to the church? But, isn't that what they promised in the temple? That you're going to give everything, time, your talents, everything that you possess to the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints? Mm-hmm. Wow, the law of consecration.
I had an ancestor write down in his journal and describe this United Order. He described it as an absolute failure. There wasn't anything that was working, really. It was really a state of confusion.
Indeed. Somebody in the chat room said, never trust anything that needs door-to-door salesmen to promote it. If it's such a good product, it will sell itself. That's pretty good. Oh. Yes. Okay.
Yep.
You want to do 11?
Yep. The Book of Mormon says that the people of ancient America had chariots, wheeled vehicles. The wheel was unknown in ancient America.
And what do you know? They haven't been able to find one wheel. Not one single wheel.
Yep.
And yet all these people, suppose, you know, they had this warfare, and all these people died right around the Hill Cumorah, but there's nothing to prove that there were wheels or anything else. No artifacts. Nothing.
Oh, it was supposed to have been, what, thousands and thousands. That was the very last battle.
Yes, but there's nothing remains.
It would be unheard of, to not have any relics.
Exactly. All righty, we're going to a quick 3-minute break. We'll be right back.
Imagine a pill that can improve your focus, your memory, your sleep. A catalyst to improve your brain chemistry. Dr. Bill's Cognition Plus is truly the smarter in an hour pill. A combination of amino acids, trace minerals, and B vitamins, Cognition Plus is made with specialized herbal extracts that will enhance and support brain function. Our customers say,
I feel more focused.
My memory's getting better.
I can work longer with more useful hours.
Power up your neurotransmitters that have been depleted, like dopamine and norepinephrine. Stimulate the release of others, like serotonin and oxytocin. Improve circulation and energy production. Protect your mind and your loved ones today. Order Dr. Bill Deagle's Cognition Plus at 888-212-8871 or go online to NutriMedical.com. That's 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com.
This is Dr. Bill Deagle of the NutriMedical Report, 12 to 3, Monday to Friday. Call-ins are welcome to the show. You can order at 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
You, your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN and of course you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at NumanaRepublic.com. That's NUMANA Republic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
All righty, welcome back. Our guest for the last 2 hours is Jen, and we're talking about the Mormon Church. We're not blasting it, we're just warning people. Now, we're talking about the wheels and that nobody ever found any artifacts and whatnot. Well, Joseph Smith said that he gave the gold plates back to the angel Moroni. And I was thinking, well, maybe Moroni collected all the swords, the chariots, the wheels, the helmets, the bones and boots and all that stuff and took those away also. Do you suppose that's what happened to all the artifacts from all the wars? I'm being very facetious here. Seriously. Okay, number 12. Mormons believe that God was once a man like us and became God, although many passages in their own scriptures say that God never changes. So I think that's self-explanatory. Do you want to say anything about that?
No. What was the name of the prophet that said that he didn't think we believed that in that anymore?
Oh, it was Hinckley. He's good at that. Yep. He's good at backpedaling and damage control. But but he said, oh, I don't know that we teach that anymore. And he also said that about the Adam God theory and plural marriage. You know, he was very good at propaganda and damage control. He is one of the few prophets that has ever reached out, or one of the few individuals that claim to be prophets, who has reached out to the mainstream media and said, hey, I'd like to be on your program. I'd like to talk about Mormonism. He is something else. But his background was in communications. Very interesting.
It feels so good to see the whole thing from this side now. Finally, we're on solid ground.
Yes. When you're born into something, you believe what your parents tell you. It's
sadly.
Sad thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, 13. You want me to do 13?
Sure.
Mormons emphasize the uniqueness of Joseph Smith's story of his visitations by heavenly beings and his miraculous production of long sacred texts. However, such things, although unusual, are not unique. Other examples of people who claim to have had angelic visitors and produced sacred texts include Ann Lee, Emanuel Swedenborg, James J. Strang, Baha'u'llah, Muhammad, John Newborough, Edgar Casey, Helen Schumann, or Schuckman, Levi H. Dowling, the anonymous author of the Urantia books, and many others, including many religious contemporaries of Joseph Smith, and Fawn Brody, who's wrote a fabulous book in 1945 called No Man Knows My History. It's a fabulous book. It talks about all these people. And I remember, I used to be a big fan of Hugh Nibley. Oh, I just sickened. We'll get back to this. We'll be back in 3 minutes.
Are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction?
A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.